Man, what I get the honor and the privilege to be able to introduce our speaker of the hour. You always think about, what am I going to say about someone? You always want to kind of capture, I think, the moment properly. And I remember last Sunday sitting in your office, sir, and I could hear an individual just laughing and talking at the other end of the hall. And so, Rose, the first thing I could tell you about my daughter is that she's loud. She is loud. Yes. You know, but I think that loudness comes out of a liveliness. And the one thing that I know that she doesn't know is that I've had the opportunity, Stacy, on more than one occasion to catch her worshiping the Lord. And she didn't know I was watching. There have been occasions where she thought I left work and she began to worship. And she worships her God just as passionately in private as she does in public. And she had no idea that I was able to witness it. She had no idea I would tiptoe back in and back out of the house because I didn't want to interrupt that. And I really thought about that. And I said, you know, the one thing that I could say about my daughter is that she puts her whole heart into her relationship with the Lord. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, that whatever you do, do heartily as unto the Lord. And one of the things that I appreciate most about her, one of the things that I admire most about her, it's her passion, her commitment to Christ. And I would say that one of the things that draws me to worship God even more is the passion of my daughter. So stand with me and welcome our speaker of the hour, Noriel Ashley Tobin.
Now stay standing and continue to bless the Lord God Almighty, who's still seated on the throne. He's never been dethroned. They've tried, the devil tried, but he's defeated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody bless the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Alpha, the Omega, the first, the last, the El Shaddai. God, I am. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. Hallelujah. So, obviously, I love God, and I want to honor him first and foremost. He is the reason I am standing here today in my right mind. Woo! With anxiety and depression, suicidal ideation on the rise, being able to have the sound mind of Christ is a gift today. Do not take that for granted. I have been in a place where I genuinely lost my mind. About 4 years ago, I was institutionalized. I won't stay there today, but I want to honor the Lord for that. I want to honor the Lord. Thank you, God, for my sound mind. Hallelujah. And I, too, honor my father and my mother, George and Fabre Torbert. Train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are older, they will not depart from it. Even if you see them stray, even if you see them go in another direction, don't pay attention to what you're seeing in the natural. Trust what the Lord showed you in the spirit. It is established forever and ever. Amen. So thank you, sir, for taking me to church when I didn't want to go to church. Thank you for helping allow me to clean the bathrooms and the toilets at church. When my dad ran to church, I was a PK for a little bit, and he called on his children to come help him clean it out. Because when none of y'all are around, you got to call on the kids. You got to call on the family. So I'm grateful for him and my mother and for their prayers. And to my spiritual father and mother. I am so honored to have watched the two of you over the last 14 years of my life. I'm 34 now, and when I came here, I was 20 years old, and the worship has always been what captured my heart. And because you allow the expression, you don't interrupt what the Lord is doing for your name's sake, but for his name's sake, You allow the presence of God to change the lives of people. And please hear me when I say this. Do not take that for granted. That is not happening all over the world. That's not happening in every church in America. But it's happening here. So keep coming back. And I thank you so very much for allowing and hosting the presence of God. And to my best friend, Ivy. Thank you for always having a servant's heart and for sticking by me when, boy, did it not look like it was going in the right direction. Jesus, he did it. But, yes, he will. Don't bring that out of me. no, but we started a Bible study together like 10 years ago, and we are still ministering the word of God today. So thank you for your dedication and your faithfulness. All right, let's get into the word of the Lord. We're going to actually go today to 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 19 through 21. Again, that's going to be 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 19 through 21. And I would ask that we stand for the reading of the word of the Lord to honor the word. Please and thank you. I am going to be reading from the New King James Version. And you can read along. We don't need to read in unison, but after the reading of the word, I would ask that you bow your heads and pray for me as I pray for you. So reading the word of the Lord, 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 19 through 21, New King James Version. So he, Elijah, departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he was with the 12th. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Please let me kiss my father and my mother, then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back, for what have I done to you?" So Elisha turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh using the oxen's equipment and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. Let us bow our heads before the Lord. Dear God, gracious Heavenly Father, your presence is here in the room, God, and we just thank you so much for allowing us to be able to enjoy the presence of God here in the house. Father, as we are here gathered to honor the man and woman of God, Father, honor us, Lord, by blessing our minds, Lord, our bodies, our temples, our homes, Lord, our jobs, where we work, Father, and allow us to be the light and the life and the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ. May the word go forth and be birthed, Lord, in the natural. Lord, what you're doing in the spiritual realm, you already started working years ago, but we'll see it manifested, God, here in the natural sooner than later. And we trust you at your word because you're not a man that you should lie. And so, God, allow this word to come forth and produce a harvest, Lord God. Let it not return to you void. In your name, Jesus, I ask all these things. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. So a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Jason started a sermon series, and the Lord is so good. He was talking about the voice of the Lord and how Elijah was with the Lord and he heard the whisper, and that when we pray, we need to listen for the word of the Lord, that by sitting at the feet of God, we're able to hear and know the word, and that the word is confirmed. God will send confirmations, and then when the confirmations come, we need to obey. God is so good, and he has sent the confirmation he started putting pen to paper at 5 o'clock in the morning on the day he preached that sermon. In October, before I heard a word, the Lord had spoken to me. And so he confirmed the whole thing. So I believe the Lord is going to tie this sermon series beautifully. It's going to go a little bit different, but you're going to hear a lot of those points. The Lord is really trying to get the house to hear. And so I'm just going to come and solidify what the Lord has been saying and speaking to us this last month. And so starting, for those who may not know, Elijah was a prophet of the Lord for Israel. And a couple of chapters back, before chapter 19, in chapter 17, we see Elijah speaking to King Ahab, and he calls for a drought. He calls for a drought on Israel, and he said, "It will not rain until I speak again." So the heavens shut up. And then the Lord told Elijah, "Go to the brook Kereth, and there you'll be fed by ravens, and you're going to drink from the brook." But the brook dried up because of the drought. And so then he said, "Go to the widow that's in Zarephath, and she is going to feed you." And so when he goes to the woman that's at Zarephath, he says, "Can you bring me a cup of water?" So she goes to bring him a cup of water, but then he says, wait, as she's going, he stops her and says, "Also, bring me a little meal. Bring something to the Lord, to the man of God first." And she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I don't have enough. I don't have enough to share with my household and with you, man of God." But he said, "If you honor me first, if you honor the man of God first, your house is going to eat, and it shall not lack. Your cupboards are not going to run dry." And so I am here to reiterate, when you honor the man and the woman of God, your house will not go lack. It may look like a recession, but the people of God still eat in the drought. And so he leaves the woman at Zarephath, and then after that, he goes and speaks again to Ahab, and he says, "Bring the prophets of Baal. Bring the prophets to Baal, to Mount Carmel, and we're going to see who the true God is. Who is it? Is it Baal or is it God? Choose you this day who you're going to serve. Which one are you going to be in or out? You need to be fully committed to the things of God or the world. God does not like lukewarm. He spits it right out." So this is what he's telling the people of God. Serve the Lord or serve the devil. Whichever you want to do, do it wholeheartedly. And so they bring the prophets of Baal. They cry out all day, "Oh, Baal, oh, Baal." Nothing happens. But then Elijah says, "Bring me some water and bring me more water and bring me more water." Mind you, it's a drought, and they're telling him to get more water. And so, but they honor the man of God. They bring the water. And then, of course, fire falls from heaven and consumes the sacrifice. And they all fall and cry out, "Oh, God is the Lord. Jehovah God is God." And then after, he goes and he slaughters all of the prophets. 450 prophets. Elijah goes and cuts them up. And then Ahab, King Ahab, he is one of the most wicked kings in Israel. The Bible says that no one was more wicked than Ahab because of his wife. Real quick, it matters who you marry. All right, I'm going to leave it at that and move on. He said because of his wife had led him into deception. It led him into serving false gods and being wicked. And he caused Israel to commit sin. And so Ahab goes to his wife and he cries to his wife. All right. And so he cries to her and says, "Elijah just cut up your prophets." And she says, "Oh, for real? He cut up my prophets? Bet. If he is still alive by the end of the day, curse me." And so, of course, as you know, story goes, a little bit couple of down, she does end up getting thrown out of a window, so she ate her own words. And so here we are. Now, in chapter 19, at the beginning of chapter 19, where we started, and again, Jezebel has just issued a death threat to Elijah. So I'm going to read a couple of verses just to kind of tie the story in and go back what Pastor was sharing earlier, but I won't stay there. Where we're going is 19, 20, and 21. That's where we're going. So actually starting in verse 1, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a message to Elijah saying, "So let the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow this time." And he said that he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and he left his servant there. Sometimes when you are exhausted from ministry, you can get distracted by what's going on in the natural, and you can, and that can move you from your position of authority. He was the man of God. He spoke and the heavens didn't rain. And then he allows the wickedness, that spirit of Jezebel, to intimidate him. That same spirit, we can see it arising right now in the nation. Don't be fooled. This is the same today as it was yesterday. There is nothing new under the sun. That same idol worship, that idolatry, to be able to give yourselves to lasciviousness, to idol worship, that is what's going on. And so don't get distracted. Remember who you are. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die. "It is enough now, Lord. Take my life, for I am no better than my father's." Then he lay and slept under a broom tree. Suddenly, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." Then he looked, and there was by his head a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back to him a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you." If you think you're going to be able to discern and survive this wickedness that is in the land without eating your word daily and allowing the Holy Spirit to breathe life into that thing, you will be defeated. You will be defeated, but you must sit, just as Pastor's been talking about. You must sit in the secret place. You have to get up. It is not an option anymore. This is not time to play around. It's time to get serious about the word of God. And it repeated it twice because that's how important it is. Don't play around. Get in the word of the Lord and allow the Holy Spirit to breathe life on that thing. That is, whenever you see bread and whenever you see water in the Bible, that is typically synonymous of the word and the Holy Ghost. Moving on. And so verse 9, and he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" So he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, and for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Then he said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks into pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small. Pastor has preached that so beautifully. I'm not going to touch it, but remember the voice. After you've gone into your secret place, you've gotten the word, you've prayed your prayers, like he said, sit there just a little bit longer and listen. So it was when Elijah heard it, he moved and wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of a cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah? And he said, I've been very zealous for the Lord of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. Then the Lord said to him, go, return your way. Go back in the direction you came from. You turned from the will of God. You turned and ran from your calling. Go back. Somebody needs to hear that today. I'm just hearing that in the spirit. Just go back. Turn back to the things of God. Sell out back to the things of God. You were once on fire and passionate and fervent from the Lord, and you ran in the opposite direction because it got hard, and that's okay. It gets hard. I'm here to tell you, I've been there. I know what the bottom feels like after you've been on fire for the Lord. Run back to your calling. Run back to the wilderness. Go back in the way that you came. That's where you're going to find the peace. That's where you're going to find the joy. That's where you're going to find the mercy. That's where you're going to find his grace. You're not going to find it chasing after that spirit of Jezebel. It's only going to be in his call, in his will. So go return your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Also, you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, and you shall anoint as prophet in your place. It shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill. Whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. And so, if you're going to do this thing, you got to get somebody to come along with you. God is going to send men and women of God because you cannot do it by yourself. You are never made to be alone. You are never made to be isolated. You are never made to stay in your room. You are never made to cry in the dark by yourself. You are made to go through life with people, with the body. So God is going to send you specific people that you can trust and that you can confess your sins. And to the righteous man, and the fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. That's what it's going to get you through. You're not going to do it on your own. God is saying, go find men and women, and I will lead you to the anointed ones, to the ones that's going to pull you through. And I understand, Elijah, you can bring your emotions to me here in this secret place, but the truth is your feelings aren't fact. You're not the only one. You may feel like you're the only one, but you're not the only one, Elijah. I've got 7,000 others who haven't bowed to Baal. It's not just you on fire for the Lord. The devil's going to make you think it's just you. No one else cares. No one else is 24 and crying to you, Lord. Nobody else is serving you like I am. Those were my prayers. And it wasn't true. There were lies from the enemy. There are people God is sending you, but you have to be still and listen for the voice. Hallelujah. Verse 19. So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. Woo. Hallelujah. Thank God that Elijah was obedient. Even though he was in a cave, even though he was in a dark place, even though he was isolated, when he heard the whisper of the Lord, he responded. And we have to, once we hear that word, become obedient, because guess what? Your obedience is unlocking the next generation. Elisha is waiting on you for you to be obedient and to respond to the Lord. Could you imagine if Elijah wasn't obedient? What if he just would have sat there a little bit longer? Elisha would have manifested into that potential, but his timing would have been off. And so because Elijah was obedient, he released Elisha in the spirit to be able to walk into his calling. And so I thank you for your obedience. I thank you for your steadfastness, because it released me in the spirit to be able to walk in my calling. Thank you so much for your obedience, because it released me to walk into my calling. Thank you, Mama Gail. Thank you, Pastor JoJo. Thank you so much. I wouldn't be here if these men and women of God wouldn't have committed themselves to Christ. What if they wouldn't have responded? What if they wouldn't have been obedient? What if they would have said no? Where would you be if they said no? There's someone else God is waiting for you to release in the spirit. So it's not about you. It's bigger than you. It's bigger than you. It's bigger than you. There are thousands that are waiting for you to respond and say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Here I am. Here I am, God. I'll say yes, even when it hurts, even when I feel alone, I'll say yes. Even when I don't understand, I'll say yes. Hallelujah. Verse 20. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah. Please let me kiss my father and mother, and then I will follow you. And he said to him, go back, for what have I done to you? And so not only was Elijah immediately obedient to the word of the Lord, but Elisha recognized what Elijah was doing. What happened to him? He realized, this changed my life. I can't stay here. I can't keep doing what I've been doing. The man of God has anointed me, and I'm not going to take that as a small thing. Elisha said to mom and dad, I'm out of here. I gotta go. I've got a calling on my life. I love you. And there's certain things some of y'all gonna have to kiss goodbye, because it's not worth your time. It's not gonna give you the same peace. It's not gonna give you the same grace. It's not gonna give you the same love as walking in the call that God's called you to. You're fighting it. You think you know better. You think you should start that business. You think you should marry that person, but God's saying, run after me. I've sent the man of God to you. I've shown him, this is the will I have for you. Don't keep running after that thing that is not like me. Don't keep chasing after the world. Run after me. I confirmed it with the man of God. I've shown it to you. Don't doubt this thing. Don't doubt what happened to you. The mantle of God was thrown on Elisha. So, it's a fancy church word. What is a mantle? What is a mantle? Well, I actually had to do some research. I knew what it was. I had an idea, but I wanted to go deeper. So I discovered that the mantle was not only a piece of clothing that the prophet wore to cover himself. That was in the natural. But in the spiritual, it covered as well. It covered the giftings. It covered the calling. It covered the anointing that breaks the yoke. It covered, everything is covered over the mantle. And the thing about mantles is that mantles don't leave the earth. When Elijah, a couple chapters later, is raptured by fire, what falls back to the earth? His mantle. And Elisha officially puts it on. And the moment he puts it on, the prophets recognize that is the spirit of Elijah resting on Elijah. And so I am here prophetically to announce what the Lord showed me in the spirit. He showed me that this house, just as the spirit of Elijah has rested on several different ministries over the years, the Lord has shown me that that same mantle has rested on this house to protect this house from the attacks of Jezebel. How in the world could you still be standing here when you've seen men and women of God come and attack your life, come try to tear you down? It's that mantle that covers that anointing. It's the mantle that covers the gifting. It's the mantle that has allowed us to be able to see prophetically so clearly in this house. Why do you think we keep seeing miracles, signs, wonders? That's not a coincidence. It's the mantle that is covering this house. And there is so much more. The Lord is telling me that as we continue, that as Elijah continues to pursue after the Lord, guess who gets birthed out fully in the natural? Elisha. And the anointing of Elisha is a double portion. It's a double portion. The Lord wants to do even more. What we've seen is not even just the start of what the Lord wants to do in this house, but you've got to believe that we have to fast. We have to pray. We have to go after the things of the Lord, and so we can be able to see the hand of God lifted high in this house. Hallelujah. 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 And so, angel, if you could come and play something softly. So, Elisha, verse 21, turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh using the oxen's equipment and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. Immediately, Elijah, he casts off the things of this life and he cuts them up. He gets rid of his plan B. He gets rid of his exit strategy. He doesn't say, if this thing doesn't work out with the Lord, I guess I'll just go back to what I thought I was going to do. I'll just go back to farming. I'll just go back to plowing. No. He committed fully to the call. And there are some things we're going to have to give up. There are some things we're going to have to let die. There are some things we're going to have to walk away from. But for the sake of the call, for the sake of the next generation, for the sake of those who are following after you, for the sake of Declan, for the sake of Owen, for the sake of Amari and Aja, and Ezra, for the sake of Jeremiah and his unborn child, for the sake of Zach, for the sake of Andrea, for the sake of Maria, we got to keep going. There's people that are following you. And we need what you got. You can't take it with you. You can't take it with you, Dad. You gotta go find Elijah. You have to go find Elijah, Reverend. Release him in the spirit. And teach him. Teach him the word of the Lord. So that they can grow up and be the servant of God. One day, this ministry is going to get passed on. Thank God, no time soon. But one day it is. And Sky, and Zach, and Jess, and Chase. They got to be ready. Keep pouring. Don't stop. They hear you. They hear you. And what the Lord wants to do in this house is greater than what we've seen before, because the latter will be greater. Hallelujah. 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 Somebody give the Lord a shout of praise. Somebody give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For the next generation, we will. For those who are following behind us, we'll give it up. If it means surrender, we'll lay it down by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hey, man, it was actually during the worship, and I was looking at my little princess up there, Andrea, singing, and my heart just got so full. And I realized that that moment came to us. Because the mantle is true in the macro sense where our leader is concerned, but it's also true in the micro sense as well. Some of you all are involved in various ministries.